Blog Talk Radio.
Hello?
Scott, we're here because we love you. You fed your lawn earlier this spring, and now you're at it again. We're concerned.
Thanks, neighbors. But summer's on its way. Well, the grass may look bonny green and lovely now. It still needs a late spring feeding to keep it that way. Another feeding now with Scott strengthens and helps defend your lawn from the brutal heat and heavy use to come.
Let's go feed.
Yeah.
Feeding.
Go feed.
Get Scott's Turf Builder lawn food. Feed your lawn. Feed it.
And to clear out weeds while you feed, get Scott's Turf Builder Weed and Feed.
I do a
This is a product of Beverly Nation. This is Know Your Rights, and I'm your host, Terry Strength, on air now from Lagos, Nigeria. Call in, family, 516-453-9133. Press 1 to join the conversation, and, of course, this is brought to you by them boys at Looking Glass Entertainment. Before I begin, I would like to thank Brother Obadeli and ONE Dynasty family for giving me the opportunity to share my story and my perspective. The topic for this evening is Spirituality, A New Perspective, interview with Master Sidereal Astrologist Ken Bowser. Astrology is a fact in most instances, but astrological aspects are but sign symbols. No influence is of greater value or of greater help than the will of an individual. Do not attempt to be guided by, but use the astrological influences as the means to meet or to overcome the faults and failures, or to minimize the faults and to magnify the virtues in the self. And that was written by Edgar Cayce. All right, so I want to say a couple of things before we bring in Mr. Bowser. Just want to talk briefly. First of all, I want some prayers to go out to important people in our family who've suffered loss. Two of them due to COVID. Another one from unfortunate circumstances. I want to pray for these people. Family, we still have to remain vigilant about what's going on with COVID. I know there are vaccines out there and everything, but COVID is still killing people, family. It's still killing people. So we must remain vigilant. We must do what we have to do to take care of ourselves so that we're not catching this thing. Of course, there's a big debate. You got many out there who are taking the vaccines. We're still having these debates over whether to take the vaccines or not. Listen, make sure you protect yourselves. Okay, this thing is still out there killing people. So I just want to pray for the people in our family who suffer loss due to COVID and remind us to remain vigilant. All right, so enough of that. Let's talk about this fun and unusual topic this evening. We have this guy on tonight who we're going to interview, and he's brilliant. I mean, he had my head spinning. I'm just going to say, thanks for joining us, Karan. He had my head spinning. So I want to bring him on. Mr. Bowser, are you there?
I am. Good evening.
Thanks for joining. Thanks for joining. It's good to hear your voice. The last time you and I communicated, my mind was blown. I'm sure you were aware of that.
People who are new to astrology are particularly powerfully impressed.
Yes. I was powerfully impressed. And I'm sure you're going to have more on tonight that are impressive. So to get started, I know I have the questions that you and I talked about, but come on now. You're on the Tara Strength Show, so, you know, you don't always follow the beaten path. I want to ask you a couple of questions, though. I want the listening family to really get to know you a little bit, because I think you're a brilliant guy, and everyone who I've talked to about you, it's like, wow. I mean, you were telling me that you've made predictions versus a lot of other astrologers that have come true, the elections and so forth. How did you get started in this, if you don't mind telling this very briefly?
I was intrigued by a young woman I was very powerfully attracted to, and she did my horoscope.
Always a woman.
I could see myself in it, and I was a little surprised. And so my question was, well, how did you do that? And she recommended some books, and I was just off to the races and found that I took to it readily.
Wow. So you had the psychology for it. Pretty much.
I think that's about right. You're disposed toward some things and not to others. And so I have the symbolism that you see a lot in astrologers, and I didn't know that at the time, but it follows that with that symbolism, I might do it well.
Okay. All right. So what do you think is the difference between, because numerology was basically my choice between the two until now, of course. What do you think is the basic difference between numerology and astrology?
Numerology deals with things that are implicit in number theory, and astrology deals with things that are implicit in planetary theory, which is odd on the face of it. It assumes a correspondence between what happens in the sky and on the ground, which is absurd on the face of it. And yet, if one can put aside one's skepticism about the matter, it begins to become more obvious if you study it in an objective way, that there is, in fact, a correspondence between what's going on in the sky and what happens on the ground.
Wow.
So I want to ask you, because I've been wondering this. So, okay, so you're very accurate. How do we use astrology? Like, how do I, like, I mean, the things you said to me, so do I use these to make better decisions, or does it validate me some way? Like, how do your customers, how do people that come see you, how do they use this information?
They come with very practical considerations. Is it wise to buy into this, invest in that? Should I hold back? How do you think my horoscope looks in comparison to someone else? You get that a lot. Is there some kind of way to explain the things I'm going through right now, both good and bad? Those are the most common questions.
So it explains it.
In a word, yes. That's in a situation, in a program like this, you have to really address all of big, open-ended questions like that with a yes or a no, because it almost invites a long-winded explanation. So yes, it does explain it.
Right. Okay. All right. So technically, what is astrology?
It's divination by the sky, simply put.
Okay, so is it causal or symbolic? And that is to say, by what agency does it operate under?
Nobody knows. I think it's probably symbolic, but I don't know that for a fact, and I don't know anybody who does. Some people claim that they know, but it begs the question, well, how do you know? And there is no quick response to that. And so all of the occult arts are like that. That is, they don't have an explanation for how they operate that's right on the table.
Okay. So how old is it, approximately?
Well,
many people claim a
very, very old. It depends, though, on how rigorous you want to be in terms of how you define it. The zodiac itself is relatively new. That was only invented around 1000 BC by the Babylonians, and it's naturally people have studied the sky long before that. But the 12 signs of the zodiac are not very, very ancient. They came together as a useful, agreed-upon body of lore only about 3,000 years ago.
Okay. All right. So who developed it? Who developed the zodiac?
A lot of people lay claim to it, but the people who developed the zodiac are the Babylonians, the people who lived in the what is now Iraq, in the Tigris-Euphrates River Valley, which pretty much disappeared as an ancient civilization by the first century of the current era. The last known document that's been dug up so far, and it hasn't been, nothing older has been found for about 50 years, is 75 AD. That is, you can say that Babylonian civilization pretty much disappeared, and many people think it's because of a huge drought that made life there just untenable, because you're living right on the edge of too little rain. And if you don't get adequate rainfall in 3 years out of five, you're done, and you have to move on. Most people think that's what happened there, that it became too dry.
Got you. So I understand that you're a sidereal astrologer. What does that mean exactly? Like, what is the difference between sidereal astrology and the original form, the other form of astrology that I grew up knowing about?
Sidereal is the original form of astrology, and it's what's commonly used in India today. The middle of the 2nd century BC, the Greeks, who owed a great debt to the Babylonians, began to become interested in astrology, and they decided that they wanted to reckon positions of bodies from the northern hemisphere vernal equinox, whereas nobody had done that before the Greeks did that, and they were impressed that the beginning of Aries begins around the beginning of spring. And they didn't realize that that was only true during that particular period, that is the very end of the first millennium BC. And that's when Aries could be seen to rise, the stars in Aries, at the time of the vernal equinox in the north. But because of some of the earth motions that make the earth wobble, when the age of Pisces began, which was exact in 221 AD, it wasn't very long after that you could begin to see the stars in Pisces rise at the vernal equinox, hence the Piscean age that we're coming to the end of. And Western civilization around that time is getting close to a pretty severe cultural implosion, such that the West became a backwater when other places in the world, especially in India and China, were thriving. But the West took a huge backseat. The sophistication of the Roman world and the Greek world was just almost completely destroyed when the Roman Empire caved in. And the Dark Age, that lasted until about 1200 AD, was in fact so dark that scholarship was almost completely becalmed, like there's no wind in its sails. And when the lights came back on again, around 1200 AD, people in the West took up zero Aries equals vernal equinox. That's the Greek form called tropical astrology, based on the tropics of Cancer and Capricorn. And it got legs until people only a couple hundred years ago began to say, the signs don't correspond to the sky anymore. So what people are calling Aries is really Pisces. Whereas the Indians had always observed that, and the Babylonians and the Egyptians before them. And so the big fight now is whether trait characteristics derive from the actual stars that comprise the zodiac, or the sign positions, that are reckoned from the vernal equinox. And the sidereal astrologers say that trait characteristics derive from the sky. Tropical astrologers say that they derive from the dates that begin around the vernal equinox.
Gotcha. So we've been saying that we're in the age of Aquarius. Are you saying that that's not the case? Is that incorrect?
It is. We're still in the age of Aquarius. The age of Pisces begins as a mathematical reality in 2376. So we're not near the end of the age of Aquarius. It's got
several
centuries to run.
At least I got that right. Okay. So, all right. So what happened then, and why does it change? Why do we use the stars instead of the vernal equinox? And don't Western astrologers consider the equinox so important that they count the signs from it? Like, can you explain that? Or?
Yeah. So, stop me if this goes on too long. It gets a little technical. The Greeks assumed the The Earth was fixed in space. They didn't even acknowledge rotation. They thought that the sun rose in the morning, traveled across the sky, and went somewhere else at night.
Okay.
So if you take the Earth as your point of reference, and you can't detect that you're in motion, you'll assume that anything in the sky that moves can't be a point of reference. But the Babylonians took note of the equinox too, but they, and everybody else in the ancient world until the Greeks, described it in terms of its sidereal position. That is, its star position. That is, they would say that the equinox occurs in 10, 8, or 5 degrees of Aries, as it did in terms of the positions of the zodiac during the age of Aries. You see, it changes at the rate of 1 degree every 72 years. So the Greeks actually did that too, until the equinox got close to the 0 degree of Aries, and then they just stopped it and assumed that that would last forever. So the answer to why it changes is due to one of the Earth's motions known as precession, which you can visualize by imagining yourself playing with a toddler in a spinning top. Imagine you're looking down on this scene. You're playing with a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And you've pumped up a spinning top, and the kid is intrigued by the motion of the top that appears to balance while it's spinning. Some of them even make noise. It's in effect a toy gyroscope. So as you look at this, you'll begin to see the top begin to wobble inside its spin until it slows down and finally falls over. So what's happening there is that the spin axis of the top is precessing, which begs the question why. That's what the wobble is. The reason is that the midline of the top, you could call the top's equator, is not exactly parallel to the floor. So gravity nibbles away at the low point in the top's orbit or rotation to pull it down to the floor. But the top resists due to the inertia of its spin. And this is one of the characteristics of rotating bodies. They resist any force, that is anything that's rotating, will resist any force that would alter its position in space. And instead, if they have enough mass and enough inertia, they respond to the force that would pull the top down to the floor at a right angle to the direction of the force acting on the top. And that looks like a wobble inside the spin. The top says, I'm not going down. And yet it's affected by gravity pulling it down, but it reacts at a 90-degree angle to the vector, you could say the direction of the force that's trying to pull it down at its low point. And
wow.
The Earth does exactly the same thing. It's not a perfect sphere because it's a bit of a Gordo. So anything that's rotating that isn't absolutely rigid is kind of squashed. It's, the Earth is an oblate spheroid. It's a slightly squashed sphere. So the gravitational attraction of the Sun and the Moon on this equatorial bulge of the Earth, see, the equatorial diameter is about 27 miles greater than the polar diameter. It imposes a force on the Earth that would alter its position in space if it were not spinning. But because the Earth is spinning, it can resist the attraction of the Sun and the Moon on its equatorial bulge, but that attraction still makes the Earth's spin axis precess. It wobbles on its spin axis, but the forces, masses, and distances between the Sun, Moon, and the Earth are so huge. An entire wobble cycle takes almost 26,000 years to complete.
Wow,
that means,
that's
do you want
critical.
Me to, is this too much?
No, that's pretty technical. That's pretty deep. You just
well,
explained.
Here's the rest of it. This is the crux of it. That means that a different degree of the zodiac appears on the vernal equinox about every 72 years. And a different sign about every 2,150 years. That's what the astrological ages are about. You know, the age of Aries, the age of Pisces, the age of Aquarius, et cetera.
Ah. Okay.
So,
all right.
When the West took a header, the tropical and sidereal reckoning were lined up, which happens once every 26,000 years. And it just so happens that the collapse of Rome just completely destroyed scholarship in the West, and nobody was even taking observations, although the Arabs and the Indians did notice it a few hundred years later and said, hey, look, Pisces is rising at the vernal equinox. What do we do with Greek doctrine that zero Aries equals vernal equinox forever? And to their great credit, they said, there's something here we don't understand. Let's just go with this for the moment. We'll figure this out later. In the West,
all right,
there wasn't that kind of inquiry.
All right, Ken, we have to take a break. We have a track by the International Radio Hall of Fame disc jockey, DJ Olasky. We're going to get back to this after this track from Brother O. Hey, Brother O.
Talk of the town, but now I'm broken, raggedy, and it all. It was all on me. You know I'd make everybody high now, and we'd all ride around. I burned them all three now. I said it's bad, boy. And Lord, I know I don't even have a dime. When I try to call or see one of my friends, Lord, they said, son, I just don't have the time. My baby walked up to me one day, and she said, son, you know this is all, 'cause all your money's gone, and you know I love the ball, and I just couldn't believe it now. Lord, the words that my baby said. You know all I could do then was walk by and take it away. Now I'm doing all right. And I'm on my feet again. And I don't need nobody to help me to drink up my whiskey, wine, and gin. And I don't need you, woman, always right up in my face. But you know I done found somebody better now. Someone else. Back down again
now. Go ahead, Hall of Famer. This Jockey DJ Olasky. Thanks for that, brother O. All right, I think we have a caller in the queue. Caller one, who am I speaking with?
Hey, peace. And abundant divine blessings. My name is Mr. George G. M. James. I am the author of a book I put out many, many years ago called Stolen Legacy. I'd like to thank you, a special guest tonight, for coming on to your show. And along with that, I got some special news for you, sir, Mr. Common Strength. Can you hear me? Can you hear me loud and clear?
Yes, I can, sir.
Okay.
Yes, I can.
First of all, I want to say I'm so proud of you and the works in which you're doing. Congratulations. Linear New Host of the Year. The Comet Test Strength on your O&E syndication station all-time connection record. This is your 33rd all-time. I'm prepared it. 32nd consecutive. Thank you.
Thank you, honey. Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. All right. I want to thank Brother Hooney for that. It's an honor. I really want to thank him for that. Brother O and all the support that I've gotten over my time here at ONE. It's a definite honor. And the success that I've been having is because of all of us together. So I want to thank you, Brother Hooney and Brother O, for all the support you've given me. All right, family. Do we have another call in the queue, Brother O? Yes, we do. We have another call in the queue. Caller two, who am I speaking with? Hello?
Caller two, you're on the line. Okay, let the caller go ahead on.
Caller?
We'll bring on the next caller. Caller number three, you're on the line right now with Tara Shrimp and Andrew Wright.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
This is Jerry.
Jerry, Hall of Famer.
How are you?
I'm doing okay.
So I just wanted to say congratulations, and I wanted to say hello to you and hello to your guest. And I'm a Pisces. He was talking about Pisces.
Yeah.
What's your birthday?
You want Ken?
March 7th, 1961.
I didn't catch the day and month.
March 7th, 3-7.
That's a sidereal Aquarius. It's true, it's in the sign Pisces, but it's in the constellation Aquarius.
Oh.
So you're much stronger than the Pisces people generally are. Extremely independent and not inclined to be easily led.
Yep.
That sounds like you, Jerry.
That's so funny.
Most people think that, well, let's just put it this way. 5 out of 6 people in the current era who think they have the sun in Pisces have it in Aquarius. And when the age of Pisces begins 355 years from now, everybody will be one complete sign off.
Oh.
So an ancient Babylonian would have said, without reservation, that you're an Aquarius. You may have the other planets in Pisces, but the sun is definitely in Aquarius with respect to the constellations. And if you went to India today, they would tell you the same thing. And the sidereal astrologers, who are mostly in the U.S. and Europe, would also say the same thing. Most Western astrologers are tropical astrologers who would agree with you that the sun's in Pisces. But that's what the big argument is in astrology today. That is whether the signs are meaningful or the constellations in their ancient form. So I'm an advocate of the second position, that you're an Aquarius, much more powerful than most Pisces people are, independent almost to the point of anarchy in many cases,
yes.
Willful and firm in your resolve to run your life the way you want it to be and not to become subject to the will of another person.
So,
come on, Jerry.
Sum me up.
Oh, dude.
That's really cool. That was pretty cool. Thank you, baby.
I told you, Jerry.
Oh my gosh, that was so cool.
That sounds really like you. At least since I've known you.
Yep.
And he didn't even ask for your time of birth. Can you explain the importance of the time of birth, Ken, to her?
Well, if we know what time you were born and the place, you can tell what constellation was on the eastern horizon, what people call the rising sign. That has a lot of power in astrology, okay. And we could know where your moon is. The three most significant positions in astrology generally are the sun, the moon, and the rising sign. So if you knew what time you were born, we could tell what your rising sign was. And what year is it? Can you give your year? I can tell you where your moon was if it didn't change sign on March 7th.
1961. I was born in New York. And I'm looking right now, and I think I might have my birth certificate in my hand. Let's see.
Uh-oh.
I have mine.
Here we go.
I can tell you if it's on here. Listen, this is really small. It's very different. Let's see. It says, oh, my gosh, 9:48 was the hour, but it doesn't say p.m. or a.m., though.
Oh, my. Well, maybe we can figure it out. Did you say 9:48?
Yeah, 9:48, but it doesn't say on here p.m. or a.m.
All right. We'll do both, and you can tell me which one sounds like you.
All right.
So for a.m., your rising sign is Taurus, which is very solid, emotional, kind, gentle, sweet, feminine, and absolutely invested with implacable resolve, although they're not in your face about it. It's a kind of gentle position that can't really be moved. So let's look at PM.
Okay.
You're probably going to have Scorpio rising for that.
You're all right.
Oh,
all right.
No,
what is it?
No, you'll have Libra rising if it was 9:48 p.m. Libra is much more the artist than any other.
That's me.
Okay.
I went to art school. I draw, I paint, I write. I'm a poet. Yes.
Well, that's a good fit. You also have the moon in Libra. So Neptune was just below the ascendant. I would say that you have more intuitive sensitivity than most people do.
Yep.
That you're a charming and engaging person, but you have Mars very closely trine the ascending degrees. So you're an interesting combination of someone who is a sweetheart and someone who tolerate mistreatment. It's the sign of somebody who is by turns gracious, kind, usually very pretty. Libra is probably the prettiest of the rising signs, but you would be able to flash your temper, show your teeth pretty quickly if someone were to act in a way that struck you as out of bounds, inconsiderate,
oh,
rude,
yeah.
mean, or
oh, not
what have
me.
Oh, that's not so.
That's me. That is all.
Oh, okay,
me.
All right.
That is all me. I won two little beauty contests when I was young, so I was very pretty. But I have a question. What time? What time? Was it nighttime I was born?
Yes.
Yeah, it makes sense.
9:48 p.m.
It makes
you
sense.
You have the sun in
I
the fifth house. Which suggests that you would have children.
Uh-huh.
That's not invariably true, but your life may have something to do with children.
Yes, lots of them right now. Yes.
Let's see. Hang on just a minute.
We gotta wrap it up, but you're doing great.
Okay. There may be some trouble around houses or homes this spring and in the early summer.
Thank you, baby.
So there
you
go.
I give him his number,
please.
Jerry. You can contact him.
That's cool. Thank you, sweetheart.
You're welcome.
Jerry, he had you to a T. He had you to a T. Thanks, Ken. We have another call. All right. Wow. Outstanding. Okay, I think we have another caller after Jerry. Caller, who am I speaking with?
Brother Mac.
Ah, Dick. How are you doing, Brother Mac?
I'm not bad. I'm curious to see what he's going to say. I was always told that I was on the cusp of Scorpio. My birthday is 10/23/1966. I don't know the time, though.
You said October 23rd? October 23rd is definitely sidereal Libra.
Oh.
That means that you're more of a gentleman, more of a tender person, more refined than Scorpio is by quite a lot.
That's Shango. That's Brother Mac. Yep. That's Brother Mac. Tell him more.
You may be more concerned about your wardrobe than most people. That is, you're probably well turned out. And like the previous lady we spoke with, I think the emphasis in your life, without a time, you know, it's radically modified by the time, you are probably oriented also toward the arts. Could be fine arts.
Yep, for sure.
The sun is in sidereal Libra for October 23rd.
Wow. So, So I don't know the time. I don't.
Well, we're sort of. What year is it?
1966.
All right, hang on just a minute. 10/23/1966. Do you know where?
Philadelphia, PA.
Philly. Just a minute. Let me go to Philadelphia.
Thanks for joining us, Brother Max. While he's going to turn that up.
So far, it's pretty accurate.
Okay, you have the moon in Aquarius. Although it's possible, if you were born in the early morning hours, it could have been in the latest degrees of Capricorn. So the moon changed signs that day. The moon in Aquarius suggests that you could get involved with a person of a different race, religion, or national origin than your own, and that you are strongly inclined toward the new, the arcane, the fresh, that you're not really a traditionalist. If you have the moon in Capricorn, you very much would be a traditionalist. And your early life could have been much more difficult if you had the moon in Capricorn. The moon has a lot to do with your early life. The sun has much more to do with your adult life.
Oh.
You have the sun conjoined to Venus. So I would say that you're socially adept and a very agreeable, pleasant person, other things not considered, since we don't know what your rising sign is. But the people who have sun conjoined to Venus, even though I know it's a wildly overused word, are characteristically nice. That is, if a woman was to meet you and comment on meeting you to another, to one of her girlfriends, she would say, oh, he's very nice. And she would mean it. this period and throughout the summer is likely to be distinctly fortunate for you. That is, the spring and the summer of 2021 are going to be pretty good for you. And also, probably your love life as well.
Oh, okay.
But you're likely to prosper, succeed in your work, enjoy good health, and be happy. What a concept.
Hey, I'll take it.
In trouble. Yep. Well, we're going to have to keep it moving, though. We have to wrap it up. We got another caller in the queue.
Okay, that's all I can say without a rising sign, without a birth time. Still, this is likely to be a pretty good period for you in general. The period you're in right now.
How's that sound, Brother Max? I guess he's gone. He must be gone.
He's hesitating because his rising sign makes him put some things into play that are not as auspicious as that.
Okay. I think he's gone. All right, so I think we have another caller in the queue. Caller three in the queue, who am I speaking with?
Caller three, you're on the line. Okay, we keep on moving. Caller four, you're on the line right now with Tara Strength and Noah Wright, right here on ONE.
Hi, this is Mrs. Morris.
How are you doing today?
Hello? I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. I really enjoyed your show last night, Miss Morris.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I guess my question is for your guest tonight. One, does he believe in God? Because I know he's really into this astrology stuff. And I heard the earlier segment where you were asking him some questions, and he was saying that it dated back to some form of sometime in BC, but I guess to just kind of connect the dots with someone who grew up in a religious background as well as a spiritual background, you know, astrology is not something that we really practice, and then growing up in an apostolic church. So I just wanted to know, what is his stance on his belief? Does he believe in God? Does he believe in heaven? Or does he really believe in astrology wholeheartedly and the universe and evolution? Can he just kind of break that down?
I believe in God wholeheartedly. It's the only game in town. And I also think that evolution is correct. That is, I don't subscribe to any doctrinaire position with regard to any religious persuasion, nor would I criticize any of them.
Okay.
I think the attitude of the American Plains Indians is correct. That is, they acknowledge that there is a great spirit from which all things flow. And I wouldn't take issue with that for a moment.
Okay. And when you started practicing your astrology journey, like, how did you get involved in your journey? And do you feel like the higher powers that God led you to walk into this astrology so you could help impact other people's lives, or just give me a little background information there?
I didn't have such a well-developed sense as that when I got started. I was impressed by somebody who interpreted my horoscope well enough that I could see myself in it. And I wanted to know how she did that, because it was her interpretation was sufficiently accurate that I didn't have to be persuaded that there was some merit in the art. And it never got in the way of my, I suppose you could call them religious convictions. It's just that I don't subscribe to any particular religious ideology. Dogma, credo, and doctrine isn't something that I get much concerned about, because I think that God is much bigger than that, and to try to encapsulate the ineffable is absurd. That God is way beyond logic and reason.
Absolutely.
And so one shouldn't assume that one's got it all figured out.
I can respect
that. So you're saying that you don't identify with a particular religion, but you would consider yourself like non-denominational. You believe that there's a higher power, but you're not.
Yeah, you have it right. Non-denominational is correct.
Okay. And it was your fascination when a woman read your horoscope sign and depict you to a T that you got inquisitive about how she got to that accurate representation of your horoscope and how it pertained to you?
That's precisely it.
Okay, interesting. Because it is interesting whenever people talk about this information, and I just try to be mindful of where I'm receiving the information from, because I know there's so many people out here doing other stuff, you know? That's why I have many questions. And it's not to put you on, like, blast or anything, but it's just mainly to, like, understand where you're coming from. Because, you know, ignorance is bliss, and if you never ask these questions, you may not fully understand, and you don't want to make assumptions.
Well, that's all quite reasonable. I understand.
Thank you. So thank you for explaining that.
Sure. You're welcome.
Thank you. All right.
Thank you.
Thanks. Hello, Mr. Morris. Thank you. And tell everyone, when is your next show going to be?
My next show is actually scheduled for June 14th.
Okay, great, great. Look forward to hearing your show. Thanks for calling in, okay?
Thank you, parents, and thank you for letting me ask my questions and gain some understanding and clarification.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, we have another caller in the queue, caller 5. Who am I speaking with?
Hi, peace and blessings, Brother Terrence.
Mr. Bessie, how are you doing this evening?
Hi, how are you? And how is your guest doing?
Just fine, thank you.
I have two points that I want to make. I would like to hear your opinion on the Dogon tribe that is out of Mali. They go back at least to 3200 BC. It was stated in my studies that they knew the rings around Saturn, how many rings was around Saturn, and they knew about the star Sirius. Now, there have been other people coming on to debunk these people that were able to have astronomical information, and they were trying to say that these this tribe wasn't really able to read the stars. But it's in the stories in Mali that they were capable of knowing about the stars since 3200 BC. And I also wanted to point out that I don't know if you heard of Benjamin Banneker.
I haven't heard of him.
Yes, Benjamin Banneker is a Moor that helped design Washington, D.C. And what he did, he helped design Washington, D.C. according to the stars. Also, he had one of the first almanacs. So I didn't know whether you knew about these people that were capable of knowing about the stars. And I just wanted to get your opinion on that. Also, I'm born May 19th, 1956. Also, I was born between 12 and 1 o'clock in Georgia, the state of Georgia.
Hang on just a minute.
All right, guys.
All
right, 516. Hold on 1 second, guys. 516-453-9133. Just press 1 to join the conversation. And it's brought to you by them boys, Looking Glass Entertainment. We can't have any dead air. Let's keep talking.
Thank you. Thank you. Sorry about that, brother.
Did your guest give me a time?
Yes, between 12 and 1 o'clock.
All right, let's
A.M. or P.M., Sister Bessie? A.M. or P.M.?
Oh, it's A.M. No, P.M., I'm sorry, P.M.
Okay. Well, first, with regard to the tribe, did you say they're from Mali?
Yes, Dogon. They are called the Dogon.
Oh, the Dogons. I don't know enough about them to give you a comment that's worth anything. I definitely don't throw cold water on that. The Egyptians were also very impressed by Sirius because it's the brightest star in the sky.
Yeah.
And it doesn't follow that other people wouldn't be equally astute with regard to what's important in the sky. But I don't have any information really to allow me to elaborate on what they did or didn't do.
Well,
but I wouldn't dismiss it at all.
Okay, thank you then. Could you help me with my birthday and what you see?
With regard to the gentleman who helped design DC, I don't know him. I'm only familiar with Pierre L'Enfant, who had a hand in it. Let's see. So, for 12:30, for this day, May 19th, you have the sun in Taurus, sidereal Taurus. And the moon in Virgo. So you're very much an intellectual, very curious. you're also a tender-hearted sweetie. You probably have Leo as your rising sign. That's what would be rising at 12:30. So if you were born at noon, your rising sign is Cancer. If you were born at 1 or 12:30, your rising sign is Leo, which makes you a formidable figure, a powerful figure, someone who, a woman with the constitution of a man, wrapped up in a feminine body.
Mm. Wow.
I don't think you're as well educated as you are smart, and you would benefit from as much school as you can get. I think you're quite the loner and need a lot of time by yourself, quite private. The best thing I like about you is that you're very bright. You may not have been close to your father. Probably were not close to your father. You've also, like the first lady who called, you've got a bark. That is, you don't sit still for mistreatment. So you're a formidable personality, and yet underneath what other people might see as harshness, you're very, very sweet, very tender.
Absolutely.
It's almost like your mother.
Thank you. Everything that you said was correct, and I thank you so much for what you said. Because a lot of people take a look at me and they see something else, and they really don't really know me. But thank
you. No, you're a delight.
Thank you so much. You're great. I love you.
You're welcome.
Thank
you have a wonderful evening.
I got to come on right now. Terrace and Ken, I got to come on right now. Of course, this is the CEO, Oladelin Malay Mendoza. I'm going to go right there. Okay, July 17th, 1970. I was born at 5 o'clock.
Wait,
just 5:01 in the morning. All right. July 17th.
Can I have that again?
July 17th, 1970. Come on now, Ken. Get yourself together now. July 17th, 1970 at 5:01 a.m.
And where?
I was born in Los Angeles, California.
City of the Angels coming up.
And while he's typing that, call in, family, 516-453-9133. Press 1 to join the conversation. Brought to you by Lamar Entertainment, family.
Talk to me, Kenny, before I bring this next call on.
Okay. Is it okay to talk now?
Yes, please. Talk, please.
Go ahead.
You're talking to me. Yeah, come on.
Your rising sign is Gemini. You could be a writer,
mm-hmm.
or you could teach. You have the sun in Cancer, just barely in Cancer in the sidereal zodiac. So you're a tender-hearted person, but you've got the sun conjoined to Mars, which makes you much more aggressive than the sun in Cancer ordinarily is. I think you're probably athletic. That is, there's a juvenile quality about you that...
Go, keep talking, man. You're talking the truth. Go ahead.
Well, that'll follow you throughout your entire life. That is, people would say, you're how old? You don't look it. And you're irreverent, playful, very quick, sharp, and extremely refined. There's an aristocratic quality about you that is very obvious. You like finery, quality. You're a gentleman.
Thank you.
You're pretty lucky. You've got Sun squared Jupiter, which suggests a level of success that is well beyond what most people enjoy.
Thank you so much, Kenny.
You also are a loner. and lonely, but you both like it that way and it's too much. You may have had an unusual upbringing, possibly by your grandparents.
My grandparents were influential, but I was brought up by both mom and pop. And it was very, very, very
well, there was something unusual in your household. It was a non-standard household, I would say. But I would call your parents enlightened.
Say it again?
I'm sorry, say that once more.
No, say that again about my parents.
That they are enlightened people. They're unusual people, possibly professional people.
They were. My father was a Pentecostal pastor, and my mother was a nurse. Mm-hmm.
You're very much for the underdog, and we'll speak
up. Did you hear this,
sir?
Did you hear what he said, sir?
I heard him.
You have the moon very closely trine Venus. So you're, even though you're more aggressive than most people are, you're completely charming. Because moon Venus is the darling of the crowd. So you would be endlessly popular, especially if you were a teacher.
In any case, I think you
sense information perhaps on a wide scale. I think you write well. You speak well. I think you may even dance well.
This is true. This is all true. See, Kenny is, Kenny right now, you don't know me, but, Kenny Bowser is my greatest fan, y'all. I love this guy. Listen, say no more. You're so adequate and all of that. Now, all the calls out there, just stay put, man. It's on E-Dynasty. Terror Strength, have this man back on for part two. And, of course, now we get to another outstanding track. Hey, Freddie King, take us away, baby.
That's amazing.
Well, that was great. I love Freddie King.
Yes, yes. There you go, King. Yes. So call it 6 in the queue. Who am I speaking with? You want to know your rights, show.
Yo, this is Jared, the gifted one, Thomas Conner from Louisiana. What's going on, Terry?
How are you doing, Jared? How's everything going, man?
It's going well. I'm enjoying the show tonight. I'm enjoying your guest. I wanted him to do my chart for me.
You have your time. You have your time of birth.
Yes, I actually have it.
All right, Ken, are you there?
Yeah, fire away.
Okay, it's July 13th, 1987, and it's 7:30 p.m.
Did you say 87?
Yes.
Yes.
Was that 8:30 p.m.?
7:30 p.m.
7:30, okay.
7:30. Yep.
Where?
In Louisiana.
Oh, do you know where in Louisiana?
Shreveport.
Shreveport. Shreveport is really steamy in July.
Mm-hmm. While he's doing that, call in family 516-453-9133. Family, press 1 to join the conversation. We got Mr. Bowser on. He's no joke.
Oh, look at this. Oh, my. So you've got a Mercury-Venus conjunction. I like that a lot. Mercury-Venus is extremely good for a poet, someone who writes screenplay. It right out of the box because it's the Venus and Mercury are in Gemini, and they straddle the horizon. It makes you a natural-born intellectual. You have the Sun in sidereal Gemini. So your strong suit is that you're very bright. Also, like the previous gentleman, you have Jupiter really strong. You're lucky. You have the Moon in Aquarius.
Okay.
Another person with the Moon in Aquarius... And like the lady who had the Moon in Aquarius, it's possible if you – no, we've got a firm birth time. Good. So the Moon is definitely in Aquarius. You're an unusual person, a freedom lover. You can't be tied down. Exceptionally open-minded. You may have, you could be a writer and have some trouble getting published.
I actually am a four-time self-published writer.
Say it again, please.
I'm four-time self-published. I've written four books.
Okay.
All right, so far.
I'm sorry for the dead air. I'm looking at the chart. Your rising sign is Sagittarius, and you have Neptune just above the ascendant. That's the sign of somebody who is very much an intuitive, and it's directly opposite Mercury and Venus. Often people who have strong religious persuasion have this. You're a bona fide gentleman, like the person who two or three callers ago who had the Moon in Sagittarius. You have refinement, good taste. You're extremely smart. I think your greatest gift is that you're able to paint with language that puts other people exactly in a spot such that they grasp fully what you're trying to convey, whereas other people have trouble explaining things. You're a master at it. You're very, very bright. You, I think, are a little psychic, perhaps more than a little.
you hear something?
You also have an entrepreneurial tendency. You could run your own business or start your own business and have trouble working for other people.
Oh, this dude is good. This dude is good. He's good. He's square on right now.
You're smart.
Yeah.
You're a quite an artist. But with respect to language, mainly.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, I would call you an advanced personality, and that you don't fit terribly well into the regular world, and yet you're lucky enough to somehow pull it off anyway.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Is that enough for you?
That's enough. You got another call on the.
Well, there's one more thing that I really like a lot. You have implacable resolve. You cannot be deterred from your aim, no matter how demanding, difficult, or the time required to realize your aim. You're quite determined. Also, I think probably a good athlete, you may have a tendency to be kind of hard on people.
Wow.
Yeah, thank you so much, you guys.
Welcome.
Thank you. I don't want to take up more of your time.
No, you're fine, and you have a wonderful life.
Thank you. Thank you. Wow, Ken. All right, Jared. Okay. Caller 7 in the queue. Who am I speaking with?
Hello, Terrence. This is Angela.
How you doing, Angela?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing tonight?
This is our commissioner of ONE.
So, my birthday is April 1st, 1975. I was born at 3:50
April 1st, 1975. What was the time?
3:53 a.m.
3:53 a.m. Where?
Anderson, South Carolina.
Your voice is very soft. I didn't pick you up.
Anderson,
could you say it again?
South Carolina. Anderson, South Carolina.
Coming up. Just a second.
All right. And while he's looking for that, call him, family, 516-453-9133. Press 1 to join the conversation. This is brought to you by Looking Glass Entertainment. This is the Know Your Right Show, and I'm your host, Terrence Trent, with the amazing Ken Bowser on this evening. Thanks for calling in, family. Thanks for calling in, Angela.
Thank you for having the show tonight. I'm enjoying it. You've been dead on.
You think you've got the sun in Aries, but you have the sun in Pisces. You're a natural intuitive, extremely sensitive, more sensitive than pretty much anybody around you. But your life has been a hard one because you've got Sun square Saturn and you have Capricorn rising. And the moon is in Scorpio, not a good place for the moon. So your life has been difficult, but you have the sun conjoined to Jupiter, which is distinctly lucky. It means that you overcome adversity. I don't think your early life was good. There may have been drugs in the household. You're, in spite of this early stuff, you're very, very pleasant, a very, very good friend, girlfriend, wife, mother, spouse. I think you tend to benefit everybody around you. And I think you've been used and abused and misused, and people, and unappreciated. But the people who engage you are lucky to know you.
Wow.
Very lucky to know you. Here's another instance. I don't think you're close to your dad. Have you had any head injuries? Apparently not. You don't answer.
I have not. I have gotten hit in my head.
Okay.
But there was not a injury detected, I guess.
I think there's an opportunity for you that's very near that will develop in June, in just a few weeks, that's going to manifest as either a promotion or a new position. You'll be extremely pleased about it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I think that's about as far as I can go. Quick with her, but everybody tonight has been extremely nice, very good quality people. I think your life has been hard, and yet you somehow come through it. A lot of people depend on you, and you're an example of someone with a sterling character, a good character. You stand for
it. We all depend.
Solid.
We all depend.
Yeah, I mean, she's still a rock. She's still a rockhead, but we do depend on her.
We all do depend on her.
Enjoy this thing that's developing pretty soon. It will the good fortune that you experience in between now and the end of July, but especially in June, will be repeated in January of 2022.
All right, now. How's that, Angie?
How did that work?
Hi, here. How are we seeing?
Hi, Angie. This we're on our next call right now. You know, and Terrace and Kenny, man, you know, this thing is a kaleidoscope right now. Call you on the line right now with Terrace Shrimp and Bowser, and of course, you know, your wife's right here at Orny.
Good evening. Hi, everybody. Hi, Kenny. Hi, Terrace. How are you today?
Yes. How are you doing?
Another lady with a high voice. I can't make out what she said.
I said hello. How are you today?
Oh, hi. Hi. I'm fine, thank you. How about yourself?
Excellent. Excellent. I was calling in. I did have a question. My phone got disconnected, and I'm not sure if I heard you explain the difference between sidereal astrology and Vedic astrology.
Vedic astrology is sidereal. Both Babylonian astrology and Vedic astrology are sidereal. That is, they're oriented to the stars rather than the northern hemisphere vernal equinox.
Okay.
The Babylonians, who were in the Tigris-Euphrates River Valley, which is modern Iraq, had a lot of trade intercourse with the Ganges and other major river valleys in India in the 3rd millennium BC. And each side claims to have taught the other astrology. But the bulk of the evidence suggests that it's overwhelmingly from Babylon that the zodiac really gets rolling. But to this day, the Indians are sidereal-ist, which is what I am, and the differences between Babylonian and Indian astrology are like the differences between kissing cousins. They're not the same, but they're close. So this stuff I'm talking about, sidereal, is also closely, very closely related to Vedic astrology. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it did. Thank you so much. And I also want to give you my birth date and time, please.
Okay, fire away.
Yes, September 29th,
1972. Did you say
72?
Yes. That's Virgo.
Time.
Do you know the time?
12:32 p.m.
Where?
Whiteville, North Carolina.
Just a minute.
All right, guys, and I mean, we're getting down to our last track and did our final thoughts. And we want to thank all the folks that called in tonight to On You Dynasty and Know Your Rights. All right, Kenny, it's on you, babe.
Hang on just a moment here.
All right, I want to thank Kenny for coming in. This has been quite a show.
you have Scorpio Rising. Scorpio Rising is very strong. You might have a hard time with nasty, rude, or disagreeable people. You have Mars at the very top of the chart. That suggests that you have unusual athletic ability. Oh, and you have the Moon in Gemini. So you're, you have the Sun in Virgo, the Moon in Gemini. Those are the two of the smartest placements in the zodiac. I think you are a natural student, would have learned to read very early, extremely bright. You've got Mars, Pluto, the Sun, Mercury, and Uranus all in Virgo, and the Moon in Gemini. Nikola Tesla, the guy who invented alternating current, had a situation like that with a chart that was loaded with Gemini and Virgo placements. So you're much smarter than most people, a very innovative thinker with Uranus conjoined to Mercury. Very, very smart. And distinctly aggressive.
Wow.
You may not have had the best luck in the married state. That is to say, I would expect problems in that department of your life. And yet, there's some really good things that will be laid up on your table before very long. Next year is going to be better for you. You're another person with that Sun-Pluto situation. You're a loner, private. You could have championship ability that is able to, you know, you would be like an Amazon, sort of a warrior woman.
Wow.
A woman with physical prowess that men would like to have. But it's also combined with an exceptional mind. You're brilliant, absolutely stone cold brilliant. Pretty lucky.
Wow, he's awake. Hey, Kenny, you awakened the goddess.
Well, I think she's likely to realize a degree of success that is uncommon. The major problem in her life is her relationships, marriage, and so forth.
Wow.
But in the end, you both get what you want, and your relationship life will calm down.
Wow. Lena Blue, are you there?
Yes. I am here. Thank you. That was spot on.
You're welcome.
And
she's one of our hosts on our show. Yes, she's gone.
Yeah,
she's gone.
She was fading in and out, but, you know, that's deep when you said, you know, ultimately great and bright and a true leader. And that sounds like me. Okay, guys, we'll try to get these callers on after this break here. You know, Ken, you acting up tonight. And, of course, you know, Terrace, it's all your fault. And we're going to go through a little Milton, y'all, right here.
I can't do it, baby. Oh, I've tried so hard, but I just can't do it, baby, no. Oh, I can't quit you, baby. You down for a little while. Oh no, I just can't quit you, baby. But oh, I've got to put you down for a while. Oh, you messed up my mind, baby. Made me misuse my own.
Yeah.
brother, O. Good music. All right, caller 9 in the queue. Who am I speaking with? Caller in the queue.
Caller 9, caller 9, you there? That's
hello?
All right. Okay, uh-oh, wait
hello?
A minute. We can bring it back on. Hold on, hold on. There we go.
Who am I speaking with?
Hello?
Yes. Thanks for joining us. Who am I speaking with?
Lady C?
Hello? Nice
hello?
To meet you. Yes, I'm here.
Can
I'm
you hear
here.
Me?
Yes, I can hear
yes,
you.
Yes, hi, this is Lady T. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm good. Sorry
good.
We had some connection issues here. But I wanted
yes.
to talk to Mr. Ken because I'm a Leo at heart. So I want to know what he has to say.
What's your birthday?
I'm sorry?
What's your birthday?
1370.
August 13th?
August 13th, yep. 1970.
Well, if you, you may have planets in in Leo, but the sun is in Cancer. It's true it's in the sign Leo, but sidereal astrology is reckoned from the stars that comprise the constellations, and you have the sun in the tail end of Cancer. But it's possible
okay.
that you've got a number of planets in Leo, but the sun is definitely in Cancer.
Okay. Now, I do have my time of birth.
All right, so give this to me again. It was August 13th, what year?
1970.
And the time is what?
12:21 p.m.
12:21 p.m. Where?
Philadelphia, PA.
Going to Philadelphia.
While Ken is getting that, this is probably going to be the last call for the night, brother, I believe.
That is correct. It is going to be in cozy time.
Yes. Okay. Cool. All right, Ken.
Okay. The sun is in 26 Cancer, conjoined to Mars in 22 Cancer. so you've got aggressiveness about you from the Sun-Mars conjunction, but the sun's in Cancer. The moon is in Sagittarius, which is an aristocratic quality, somewhat like Leo, although Leo is often arrogant, insufferably arrogant, and likes to be the life of the party. The moon in Sagittarius is more the sign of a lady or a gentleman who knows how to act without making other people say, well, that person needed a little bit more refinement. So you would conduct yourself like a lady. That's probably why you can see Leo.
Okay.
You have Mercury in Leo, but it's square Saturn. I don't think your education is advanced, but you're pretty smart. Your rising sign is Libra, and you have Jupiter just above the ascendant. That's quite lucky. So you would have
very lucky.
Material benefit in your life consistent with what people enjoy who are successful. I think there was trouble in your early home environment. You may be involved with a foreigner. That is, you have a combination that shows up a lot when Japanese Americans marry Irish Americans, and both families say, what? What's this? And, you know, the people involved say, oh, relax. This is us. Sometimes there's a class difference, like WASPy, Boston Brahmin type with money and education falls hard for sultry Cajun goddess. And everyone is saying, how did those two get together?
Mm-hmm.
So you could be involved with someone who is different than the social strata that you were brought up in, or a different race, religion, or national origin than your own. You tend not to see barriers between groups. I think you're interested in things that are secret and from the past. You would be a good archaeologist, a good researcher. You're sort of a closet sweetie pie, and I think it almost embarrasses you to be so nice, as though it's not consistent with your self-image as a person who is dignified and running her life very well. But you're quite tender-hearted, quite sensitive. I don't think that your married life has been smooth. In a word, you're a lady. That's nice.
Her name is Lady T, I guess. How you like that, Lady
okay.
T? Was it accurate?
That's right.
Is she a Leo or a Cancer?
She's a Cancer.
She's a Cancer, yeah. All right.
That's all right.
We want to thank her for coming on now. We do, you know, it's been wonderful. A lot of callers have called in a little late, and I wish you would have called in earlier. But, you know, what a wonderful night right here on these ONE stations. And, of course, tomorrow night we come right back on with, you know, the warrior princess, Nina. I'm sorry. Nina Blue. And Awakening in the Gardens. 9:30 Eastern Daylight Time on these ONE stations. And, of course, Delegation is advertising to ONE, which is Ola Deli and Gozi Enterprise, which is, of course, at www.lookingglassentertainment at wordpress.com, as well as in Gozi Primetime, one at bevnet.com. We're in Gozi Time, both for Twitter and Instagram, Ola Deli and Gozi at Pinterest, Google Plus, Ola Deli Mille, and Gozi at Facebook, as well as our business page, Know Your Rights, as well as the historic Beverly Nation Online Radio, established 2013. And any comments, suggestions to our wonderful program tonight, oledaylay.gmail.com, and I am your mother and father's favorite producer, Ola Deli Mille Ngozi, saying good night and good luck to all the folks out there in Armed Forces Radio, supporters on a constant basis. Congratulations on Tara Strength. Amazing. 33rd all-time connection record, 32nd in a row, the greatest record in the history of ONE Dynasty. And, man, you got, okay, 1 minute and 2 seconds left to go in the program. Man, you better make it quick.
Okay. All right. Thank you, brother. I want to thank everyone for calling in tonight. Mr. Bowser, thanks for joining us. The fans obviously want you to come back, so we'll talk about that. Family, log into his website, www.westernsidereastrology.com. He has books on Amazon. Check his books out. Give him a call. I believe he's backed up now for 6 months, but he can't. He spent time to hang out with us this evening. And I will see you guys a month from now. And remember, family, always, always know your strength. Good night.